Get the horse is RaceNetRadio.com. RaceNetRadio.com.
Welcome to Vocal Point on GraceNetRadio.com. Each week, we will examine issues that concern all Christians living in today's culture. Politics, theology, world affairs, citizenship, ethics, and personal responsibility. And now, your host of Vocal Point, Jerry Newcomb on GraceNetRadio.com.
And good afternoon. Today, part one will be with Elaine Bennett, who is actually the wife of Bill Bennett. She's written a book called Daughters in Danger. What a family this is. The subtitle of this book is Helping Our Girls Thrive in Today's Culture. In part two of the program, I'll be talking with Dr. Byron White, Johnson of Baylor University. Dr. Johnson has done a lot of research about the impact of the gospel and church attendance and so forth on people's lives. He maintains statistically that if you go to church on an average basis, and you're white, you'll save 7 years. You'll add 7 years to your life in America if you're American. And if you're black, you will add 14 years to your life. We're going to talk about the impact of the gospel. But part one, let's talk about Daughters in Danger with our guest, Elaine Bennett. This is a Thomas Nelson book just recently released. Elaine, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you, Jerry. It's a pleasure to be on your show.
Sure. And I've had the privilege on a rare occasion to interview your husband, and we respect him very much. He wrote the book, The Book of Virtues. Did you help him with that book? Be honest.
I read every single one of the drafts, and
wow.
I like to think that I offered some helpful advice.
I'm sure you did.
I really worked on the children's books. I actually found the illustrator for the children's book of Virtues, which I'm very proud of.
That's great. And this book, Daughters in Danger, did you write this in your hideaway in North Carolina?
That little... How did you know?
Well, I was just guessing. I don't know. I was once in a place in North Carolina, and somebody said the rumor has it that the Bennetts have this place. So it's kind of cool. You have to get around in a golf cart, as I recall.
That's right. No cars allowed. You take a ferry over.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful, wonderful retreat. You're sort of... get back in tune with yourself and with the beautiful sky and water and God, too.
Exactly. Okay, explain to us the book, Daughters in Danger.
Well, it's a book that came out of my 27 years of working with adolescent girls. I had a program called Best Friends that I started in 1987 through Georgetown University, and our original plan was to reach out to girls and give them advice when they're 11, 12, 13, and work with the peer group so that the peer group is making good decisions. And that advice was to say no to sex and drugs and alcohol, and to say yes to school achievement, yes to learning, compassion, and to serving and helping others. And just kind of amazingly, Jerry, it took off. We went from two schools that first year to, I guess, nearly 14, 15 middle schools, and ended up having a high school program in about 10 high schools in D.C. And then the word got out, and we spread to Newark, New Jersey. We went from there to Milwaukee, Wisconsin, Charlotte, North Carolina, Houston, Texas, Pasadena, California. We had a nice program in San Diego. So the message just caught on fire, I guess.
And so you felt that this is a message you wanted to get out. Now, you opened the book talking about some of the things, some of the bad things, frankly, going on some of our college campuses, and some of it makes it sound like just drunken orgies. I mean, I was reading something about the University of Virginia, which that's the Charlottesville one, right?
Yes.
Thomas Jefferson was a key founder of that, and apparently getting drunk on the weekends is just par for the course.
Well, it's par for the course, not just at the University of Virginia,
sure,
but for, I have to say, most of our universities across the country, except for our faith-based, our Christian ones. I know Liberty has strong rules in that regard, but I think when college campuses decided that in view of the privacy laws and so forth, that they were going to allow students to do as they please and not intervene. I think we've had some very tragic results from that, and it doesn't seem to be abating. We know that binge drinking among girls has increased, in fact doubled. We know that one out of five women are victims of sexual assault in college. This is just colleges now. And only 12% of the college assault victims ever report the crime to the police. And I think we can look at what's happened on campuses today with the hookup culture. Mm-hmm. You know, 30 years ago we had two sexually transmitted diseases to worry about. Now we have over 25. And while they're treatable, they're incurable. Multiple sex partners, far more prevalent. And that's been fueled by activities on the college campuses. Mm-hmm. And apparently the co-ed dorm movement has not been good for girls. Mm-hmm. And that is sad to me. Girls are drinking more. In fact, there's an increased amount of drinking among girls as compared to boys. And then, of course, we have this intimate partner violence. About one out of five are victims of sexual assault. 40% of girls on campus have experienced some sort of violence from their intimate partner. So, Jerry, it's not a pretty picture on a lot of these campuses for girls right now, socially and emotionally.
Sure. Yeah, I've been shocked when you read sometimes about some of the Ivy League schools, even all of these being formerly Christian, Harvard, Yale, Dartmouth, et cetera, but where they have things like Sex Week on campus, or even as part of orientation and so forth. And it really makes you blush when you read these details. Now, I was at Tulane in the 1970s. Well, okay, thank you. But I was there in the 1970s, and this is a time of the sexual revolution and so forth. And, you know, different people were doing different things and so forth. But it seems today it's more blatant. And it also seems that, you know, whatever mores were at work then, so many of those have been dropped, even among just normal students coming in.
I think you're right. I think moral values are not cool to talk about anymore. And that's having an impact not just on our college students, but our middle school students. Mm-hmm. Girls need to know that Miley Cyrus is not a role model. Mm. And sadly, at one point, she could have been when she was Hannah Montana. But she has chosen to completely forsake that part of her life and become not just a graphic sexual I think graphic sexual object may be the best way to describe it.
Sure.
And I'm not sure we're making it clear to our girls when they're 10, 11, and 12 that that's not the kind of behavior that's going to get them it's not going to serve them well in life. I mean, our culture, as you're, I'm sure, aware, is more vulgar, it's more violent, and it's more sexualized than ever before.
And I think that people have to realize, too, you were just describing, for example, just a few minutes ago when you were mentioning sexually transmitted diseases. What you have in a context like this is temporary pleasure, but with permanent results. So, for example, you know, the case of, I forgot the exact name of it, but there's a certain type of sexually transmitted disease that affects women in particular, and it's what leads to cervical cancer.
Yes, the papillomas. HPV.
Yeah,
human papillomavirus.
Yeah, exactly. So you have temporary pleasure, but permanent results. Amazing.
Sadly.
Yeah, and then you have in a book, Suffering the Consequences, that's a chapter 6, you just gave some examples of what happens when dad is not a part of the equation, since so much of this is kind of part of the negative side of feminism has led to very much of an anti-man type of message in the culture.
Well, we do know, Jerry, that a father is very important to a young girl. His treatment of her and how he regards her and how he teaches her what kind of behavior she should expect from other young men. Fathers are key to the emotional security of their daughters. And whether they're in the home or not, we know that, of course, 50% of fathers are not in the home. So we can't just discount that 50% of our population of girls who do not have fathers in the home. Fathers need to be available to their daughters. They need to communicate how much they love and appreciate them, assure them that they are worthy of being treated with respect. And, you know, if there's no father willing or able to do that, then I think mothers should try and seek out other trustworthy family members to do this, to find those who can reinforce her efforts to raise a self-confident and passionate and compassionate daughter.
Mm-hmm. And in reference to not just daughters, but daughters and sons, so in other words, the impact on children, you give these examples on page 61 about somebody's research, and they found this, that 63% of youth suicides are from fatherless homes, 90% of all homeless and runaway children are from fatherless homes, 85% of all children who show behavior disorders, again, come from fatherless homes. 80% of rapists with anger problems come from fatherless homes. 71% of all high school dropouts come from fatherless homes. 75% of all adolescent patients in chemical abuse centers come from fatherless homes. 85% of all youths in prison come from fatherless homes. And yet, many years ago, a very famous feminist said that a woman needs a man like a fish needs a bicycle.
Needs a bicycle, right. Well, we know children need fathers. We know women need husbands in the home, good, supportive husbands who treat them well and who are good examples to their children of how a man should treat a woman. We know this. I mean, and these researchers, by the way, are most all liberal. They're not just Christian or faith-based researchers who are showing these percentages of what's happened when our homes are primarily or becoming more and more single parent. As we know, it's, I guess, 42 to 43% of children now are born to single moms. And certainly there are a lot of incredible women who have done beautiful jobs with their children, mm-hmm. and they've done it on their own, and the children are good citizens, and I applaud them. But it's a tough, very tough row. Mm-hmm. Not all children can make it in a tough situation like that.
All right, we're talking right now with Elaine Bennett, author of Daughters in Danger. Subtitle is Helping Our Girls Thrive in Today's Culture. You know, you just mentioned that example about how difficult it is to be a single parent. Isn't it interesting that one of the great culture leaders in our day and a true hero by every standard, you know, unless you're real liberal, is Dr. Ben Carson. And Ben Carson grew up in a single home where his mom, I guess the husband or the father of her two sons, one of whom was Ben, abandoned the family, so she reared these two children, I believe in the Detroit area, in a housing project, and she determined to turn off the TV. I'm not even sure if they had a TV. She determined that her sons would learn to read and write and make something of their lives. This man, despite whatever disadvantages he had in life, went on to become such a great and proficient medical doctor that he was able to do medical miracles with his gifted hands, which you wrote right. about. They even made a movie about it called Gifted Hands. And right. some people are even saying, run, Ben, run, you know, run for president. And what a great leader. But if it hadn't been for his mom.
His mother.
Yeah, exactly.
Made a difference.
Made a huge difference.
She made him study. I read the book. He's an amazing, he's a hero, certainly a hero. I'd love to see him run. I have great admiration for him and what he has done. And the messages that he is bringing, he is trying to inspire other minority young men to take a stand and to get to work and to pay attention to their responsibilities and to not have children out of wedlock.
Yeah.
Even though, you know, his own circumstance was that. He knows how difficult it was for his mother.
Sure. In fact, apparently she would force her sons to read a book and then write a book report about it and turn it in, I think, on a weekly basis. He mm-hmm. said that later in life, he came to the realization he wasn't even sure if she could read, much less read those book reports, but she forced him to do it anyway. And it had a great impact, positive impact on his life.
Isn't that wonderful to have that kind of determination that she had, that
yes.
her boys were going to be different, and to make those kinds of rules. I think she had limited skills herself, but, well, she's a hero as well. And look how proud, look at the proud young man she raised.
Absolutely. Now, in your book, you quote Rick Santorum. When he was on the candidacy, he was on the campaign trail in 2012.
Right. Great man, too.
Yeah, and he said this. He said, quote, "Do you know if you do two things in your life, you're guaranteed never to be in poverty in this country?" He accurately told a crowd in Iowa. I'm reading from your book. "Number one," says Santorum, "graduate from high school. Number two, get married before you have children." End quote from Santorum. Not surprisingly, Santorum's plea evoked mostly ridicule and or outrage in feminist circles, and we would add other liberal circles as well.
Exactly. For some reason, and not all feminists, but the progressive feminists do not seem to think that children need two parents in the home, or that marriage is important to women before they have children. Now, these same women often champion homosexual marriage, but they're just not as big a champions of heterosexual marriage. And I find that confusing. You know, there are some very good liberal researchers who have determined this interesting fact that you just read. If you want to get out of poverty, you really do need to finish high school and get married before having children. If you do that, and this is Isabel Sawhill and Ron Haskins, both of whom I know, you only have a 2% chance of winding up in poverty. If you do those things, if you get a full-time job, finish high school, and get married before having children, but you have a 74%, and you have a 74% chance of getting into the middle class. So, my goodness, those three things, graduate from high school, get a full-time job, get married before you have children, you can go on into the middle class and get out of poverty. What a great formula.
You know, by the way, speaking of the middle class, honestly, this country's middle class seems to be shrinking, and it seems almost as if the new poverty is the new norm.
Well, it is sad. The middle class has taken a serious blow. And Charles Murray talks about that in one of his recent books. And one of the reasons they've taken a serious blow is that fewer and fewer women seem to feel it necessary to be married before they have children in the middle class.
Yeah.
And that has hurt them.
Well, think about the celebrity status. Think about, for example, the Hollywood women that have popularized women having babies out of wedlock. Do you remember about 20 years ago when Dan Quayle, vice president and then vice presidential candidate in the 1992, remember when he criticized a TV show where they were basically exalting single parenthood,
right,
and making
Brown.
Yeah, exactly, making it out to be more glamorous than the realities that it really was. And so, anyway, he was totally excoriated for that position. And then a major news magazine, a major magazine, Atlantic Monthly, I believe mm-hmm. it was, about a year after the campaign. And, you know,
and not a conservative magazine.
Yeah, not a conservative, but they had a cover story and it said, mm-hmm. Dan Quayle was right. I just remember that headline. Dan Quayle was right. Can you comment on how was Dan Quayle right?
Well, Dan Quayle was trying to point out that to glamorize single parent motherhood as Murphy Brown did. Now, of course, she was had a great job and she had lots of money as this character. I can't remember exactly. I think it was a news program or something.
Something like that. Yeah.
Was a situation comedy, and. They just had it was a great forum for promoting liberal thought. Here's beautiful Candace Bergen / Murphy Brown having this baby out of wedlock. Of course, she conceived it with her husband, who who'd come home one weekend after they were divorced. So that was all kind of nebulous. And obviously, he supported this child financially, which many mothers who have babies
do not experience
that, do not ever get the funding from the fathers. The fathers can avoid it, and even though the court system is there, it often is not effective. And she had money, she had fame, she had friends, and it all looked great. And I think when that happened, probably 30% of our children or less were born out of wedlock. That has now changed, and in our minority community, in our African American community, 70% of children are born out of wedlock. So Hollywood has not had a positive impact on our culture, and very little has been done, Jerry, to change that.
You know, I've heard liberal commentators make the point that when you have more than 70% of African American babies born out of wedlock, that is a social disaster by every front. I mean, even liberals recognize that. So that's a really an important point.
Now, Daniel Patrick Moynihan warned when the numbers were 40%. And more people need to understand that in 1960, it was about 15%.
Yeah.
So this is not a cultural thing in the black community.
Yeah.
And they need to take a look at why that happened.
That's true. I mean, for example, you look at the gangland shootings or just various shootings, let's say in the city of Chicago. Okay. They have the, you know, very strict gun control law. Forget that issue. Either way, the fact is that you have all this gangland type violence. Why? Because of the breakdown of the family, because of all those children born without the benefit of dad being home. That's why. I mean, it's a broken culture, and it's just so tragic. It's human tragedy, and I think it's important that you point that out in your book, Daughters in Danger. Now, Bill O'Reilly, anchor on Fox News Channel, says this: there's no higher calling than protecting America's children. In Daughters in Danger, Elaine Bennett does just that in a vivid way. And so that's a great endorsement there, Elaine. And I want to ask you about somebody you mentioned in your book, Miriam Grossman. Who is she, and why is her research important for us to know about?
Dr. Miriam Grossman is a brilliant psychiatrist, MD, PhD, and she was head of the student health services at UC Berkeley, I believe. No, excuse me, UCLA. And while she was there, she became more and more alarmed at the hookup culture and the sexually transmitted diseases.
Can I stop you for one sec? There may be some people who hear that phrase, hookup culture, and you mentioned it earlier. What exactly does that mean? Just briefly, and then move on with what you're saying about Miriam.
Well, as it's been defined, it means guys and girls go out and can hook up sexually for the night, and it with no commitment, no expectations of any kind of a relationship after that.
And they might not even know each other.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
All right, go on with Miriam Grossman.
And Miriam decided, in fact, her first book was called Anonymous, because she knew she would lose her job if she went public and put her name to what she saw as a concerted effort among the universities not to give the kinds of information to students they needed to know. And she felt that they were not
I don't know what happened. We will wait for her to call back. I assume that we're still on the air, Lord willing. Anyway, right here, we are on gracenetradio.com. Elaine Bennett, Daughters in Danger is the name of her book. She said this: there's a feminist philosophy that virtually all women honor, and that includes respect for women, whether in the workplace or at home, equal pay for equal work, and an understanding that sexual harassment is intolerable. This is not the kind of feminism that I am talking about. I'm talking about the progressive brand of feminism which goes on and essentially is politically correct. Dr. Miriam Grossman, a psychiatrist whose position at the UCLA Health Center gave her a front row seat to the lives of the young women this agenda has affected and often wounded. She said, quote, "They hope to destabilize a truth of science and civilization, that the sexes are deeply and essentially different," she wrote in her book, Unprotected. Their goal is an androgynous culture where the differences between male and female are discounted or denied and the bond between them robbed of singularity, end of quote. And so she goes on and on in this book and explains about that. And, of course, she also, Elaine Bennett, mentions how the actual impact of the sexual encounters outside of marriage, how they negatively impact what is going on in people's lives. And so now we have, think about it, we have literally millions and millions of people who've bought the lie, and they've given in to their urges. They have not waited until marriage to have sexual relations the way God designed things, but instead they do it the world's way, and then they end up with a disease, and later on, as their body is vitiated, to use a good Dr. Kennedy term, then sometimes they get angry at God, and it's like, wait a minute. God gave us the warnings. God told us what was right. God's rules are for our good. God is the one who made us. God knows what works. God knows what doesn't work. And God wanted to protect us. And that's what so much of this debate is about. People want to be able to do whatever they want to do without any bounds. But the fact is, those bounds exist. Those bounds exist in this world because God created this world. And you know what? You reap what you sow. And the good news is you don't have to be a slave to your passions. Instead, you can let Jesus Christ come into your life, change you, and give you self-control. In fact, that's one of the great fruits of the Spirit. So we've enjoyed talking with Elaine Bennett, author of the book Daughters in Danger, a Thomas Nelson book. The subtitle is Helping Our Girls Thrive in Today's Culture. We've got to take a break. When we come back on Vocal Point, we'll continue our discussion, but it'll be a new one. We'll be talking, Lord willing, with Dr. Byron Johnson of Baylor University about the impact, the positive impact of the gospel.